This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Former City Councilor Kevin Lynch and Dee Dee Smith of Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan join me live in studio. We'll put a bow on this debate for this year. And of course, Kevin, the big news is just within the last few days, the Black and Veatch study has been peer-reviewed, and explain this to us exactly. What does this mean, and what's the significance to this? Because all the folks in the city who have supported an alternative approach to this plan were just clapping as and cheering as loud as they could when this news came in. What does it mean?
Well, what it means is that once again, it's been conclusively settled that the existing dam at Ragged Mountain is in good shape and is suitable either for being repaired or could be expanded really at any height. But 13 feet is what the mayor proposed. That's I think that's a compromise that we've talked about in terms of if the dam were to be raised, although that's not even something that all of us agree on. But what it shows is there's no intrinsic problem with the Ragged Mountain Dam. And the reason that's important is that the proponents of this new dam have been saying for years now that the dam is falling apart, and with no evidence to back that up. And so we prevailed on City Council. We asked them for quite some time, please look into this because it's not true. Previous studies had shown that the dam was solid and in good shape, and there was just nothing to Ravana's claims. It was a claim based on a 1913 unsigned letter that was written before the dam was repaired in 1930. It was just a ridiculous premise in the first place. But the city council did go forward and have Black and Veatch analyze the dam. They went in there with scuba gear, checked all the joints. They did drillings, corings, and said the dam is fine. And then they gave some estimates for repairing it and possibly even building on it at various heights. Now, after they did that, the Ravana hired, they have a team of consultants, which they really use sort of like expert witnesses in a trial to sort of pick apart the Black and Veatch report. I think the original Black and Veatch report was done, three months ago?
Something in July.
In July, okay. So Ravana hired their own experts.
Ravana Water and Sewer Authority,
to find fault with the Black and Veatch report. Didn't tell Black and Veatch this, but sort of ambushed them at a meeting in November when this was, I think it was November. No, it was maybe October.
So they brought in some experts of their own.
Dee Dee's the person of the timeline.
It was this fall.
And so they brought in some experts to peer review this study.
Yeah, and then they came up with all these objections to the Black and Veatch work. And Black and Veatch just came back with a response to all that, saying, here's everything that the ITRT said. Here are some things that we think, are legitimate, and we'll include those in cost estimates. And here's reasons why we think a lot of their objections are not legitimate. And they laid out, here is where we are in December of 2010, still standing behind their analysis that the dam is perfectly sound, that it can be repaired. At a fraction, tiny fraction of what Ravana wants to spend.
I got two things that come to mind here. Number one, and I've asked this before, and Dee Dee, help me out here. Doesn't the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority work for the city too? Because at every turn, it appears that they work for the Free Enterprise Forum and the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, that's a good point. They are supposed to represent both city and county interests, but the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority has been solidly behind the county plan. And that is why the city independently hired this Black and Veatch engineering firm, world-renowned firm. This is not a fly-by-night organization. And to look at the existing dam, because the city was interested in different alternatives to the county plan. And the whole fact that the Ravana then hired their own consultants to basically hone in on this study, I think says a lot.
Yeah.
But what's really another really important thing about the Black and Veatch study is that it opens up a whole list of options for alternatives to the plan that involve phasing it, which the earthen dam, and the earthen dam is the county's and Rivanna's, what they would like to do is build this big, new, huge earthen dam, doesn't have any phasing potential. And it's kind of an all or none. basically. But if we can use the existing dam, as this Black and Veatch study has confirmed, it opens up many, many more options.
Yeah. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith and Kevin Lynch live in studio. Your thoughts, 977-1070. It's 441 on the clock, 39 degrees in the city of Charlottesville. This is Charlottesville right now. Kevin, let me ask you about your thoughts about that, the letter that the county sent to the DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, saying, don't come here. We don't want your input. We're not going to compromise with the city. It's going to be the old 2006 big, huge new reservoir or nothing. And they actually said in the letter, and let me read from this, you would suggest to you and to the public that there's room for compromise of the approved and permitted water supply plan. There is none. The better course, we believe, is to continue our efforts to persuade the present city council. Clearly, they're being very consciously saying, we're not going to compromise and talk about any new studies or any new science or any of this. We're just going to lobby members of city council. Do you know, is there any of that going on?
There's lobbying all the time going on of city council. And I think finally the county showed its true hand, because for a long time, when the city said, you know, we want to look at some other alternatives, for a while they were saying, oh no, the DEQ would never approve alternatives. And we went down and we talked to DEQ and the regulators and found that, you know, the regulators are pretty open to what they would approve. And then they came, then all of a sudden the answer changed. Well, we want them to, and we're not going to do this until they answer all these questions. And then they came back and said, well, we can answer those questions. And finally, they just said, okay, well, then we're not having any of it then. It's kind of like...
So the county kept using the DEQ as a boogeyman.
Yeah.
Until the city showed that they're not a boogeyman. They're right. Open to any compromise that the city and the county can work out. And then the county just said, well, we're not going to compromise anyway.
Exactly. And I think when you talk about the county, I think one difference between the county and the city is that the city has both representatives on the board of Ravana, and the city is also responsible for setting its retail rates. And I was on council when we raised the rates in 2002 fairly substantially to pay for a plan that was supposed to be about maintaining our existing resources. So I know the difficulty of being that person who has to take responsibility for rates. Now, that's different in the county. In the county, the board of supervisor is not responsible for setting rates. That job is left to an appointed body, which has no direct political accountability. And in fact, quite a few of those members don't even pay rates themselves. Some of the biggest proponents of this new, brand new, big system don't pay a water bill and won't have to pay for it. The county board of supervisors is insulated from responsibility of costs by not approving, you know, they don't set the rates.
Yeah.
And the service authority is insulated from a political accountability because they're not elected. And so it's a lot easier for the county to
push for a more expensive, bigger plan.
Right. Because they're ultimately just not accountable for it.
Yeah. And also, too, Dee Dee, when you have a lot of folks in the city versus the county, most of whom do pay for their water. In fact, I don't know anybody in the city who's on a well. Yeah.
No, I don't even think it's legal to be on a well in the city. Virtually 100% of the city residents will have to pay for some part of this plan. And in the irony here is we don't even know how much the city is going to have to pay. There has been no negotiations yet on what is called a cost share agreement. You know, the city will pay a part, the county will pay a part. And, you know, we've said all along, it is very disturbing to think that the city council or the board of supervisors would vote on something that they have no idea what it will cost their residents.
Well, not only that, I think a lot of people, from what I've seen talking with the board of supervisors, have no idea, period, about just what the complexity of this plan involves. And I think the only way we're going to break this logjam is for county residents who pay water bills, and there's quite a lot of them in the urban ring, to really push harder on their elected officials, saying, look, we can't afford to build your pipe dream legacy project. I mean, I see a lot of parallels going on here with the crash that we've just gone through in 2008. You know, there's a lot of reasons for why there was such a bubble in the decade of 2000 to 2008. But you know, it was sort of the common denominator was a lot of people got talked into buying a bunch of stuff that they didn't need, couldn't afford, and the people who were selling it to them then pretended that that those debts would be able to be carried indefinitely, and it, you know, they could just keep flipping things along, and all of a sudden those 5-year balloon payments became due, and the whole house of cards collapsed.
Yeah,
you know,
here, you see the 2006 water plan is like trying to get the city and the county into a house it can't afford.
Exactly. And the big balloon payment that we've got is if we go ahead and build this mega dam at Ragged Mountain, which is what the county wants to do, and Ravana's been saying, or Ravana wants to do, we've got the money, we can build this mega dam, and we won't have to raise your rates. What they don't tell you is that we won't be able to fill that big mega dam without building this pipeline.
And we don't know how much that's going to cost.
The preliminary estimates, which are easy to make fun of, put the tag at $62 million bucks. That's their best case scenario. I mean, I'd be really surprised if that thing comes in at under $100 million bucks.
Yeah.
And that's like the 5-year balloon mortgage that all of a sudden we're going to find out, hey, guess what? You know, this thing just really doesn't work the way we thought.
And what they don't tell you, too, is that they can go ahead and build the dam and maybe pay for it, but obviously the new reservoir would not work without the pipeline. They don't know how much the pipeline is going to be, and the earliest they would build a pipeline might be 2020.
Right.
I mean, there's no way that they're going to build this and fill it in the next 10 years.
Right. And by that time, everybody associated with this plan is going to be retired and collecting their paychecks from somewhere, just like most of the people that caused the crisis that we're in right now.
Cashed out and walked away.
Yeah, they bet on the upside, and then they bet on it all to fail, and now they're all, you know, watching everybody look for a job.
And the people that are going to be left holding the bag are the ratepayers, most of whom are in the city.
Right, and the other very important thing to keep in mind is that we have, in the last decade, since that plan basically was sort of construed, we've learned that, or actually we haven't learned, our water use has gone way down. Water sales has gone way down. So to go ahead with a plan when you know ahead of time that you're not going to have the revenue to pay for it. It's not even that you just hope that your projections are right, because we know their projections are wrong. Even a study that Rivanna kind of reluctantly commissioned and made sure was not done very well, but even this sort of small study told us that, in fact, our water use is 22% down on average.
The demand analysis study to figure out how much water would be needed by Central Virginia, by the city and the county together 50 years from now, looked out 50 years. Well, that study was done, in 2004?
And it only used data from the 1970s through 2001.
Yeah.
And that was the peak. That was really the peak of our water.
Well, here we are almost in 2011 for this projection demand analysis, and we already know that its projection for 2010 and 2011 is completely wrong. It's not even close.
And that's what they're depending on to pay for the plan. They were depending on sales, even today, this year being almost 30% higher.
Yeah, it's almost as if some builder was still trying to build huge subdivisions right now. You know, having witnessed the carnage that just happened in the last 2 years, if there was somebody out there whose financial backers were oblivious or not paying attention, who was still saying, you know, they're snapping them up. You know, it's like, let's keep building.
Build those big homes,
Let's keep everybody busy. Keep those earth machines moving. And, you know, that's good for a few people. It'd be good for a few realtors, lawyers, developers, speculators. But ultimately, it's wasteful. And that's our problem. You know, no matter what it is that you're trying to provision for this community, you have to take a step back and look at, you know, what are our usage patterns? And so what are things realistically going to happen, whether it's roads or schools or sewage treatment or, you know, anything? You can't base it on something that happened 10 years ago and what you hope would happen in the future. And so what Dee Dee and I and others have been saying is, look, where's your data? Show us the data. Show us how this works. And no one's ever responded. You know, we've constantly ask the other side to debate us in this. They don't want to debate. They've got their half dozen lobbyists that they use to work on council, and they're just not interested in the facts. The facts are inconvenient to them.
They repeat what they should know by now is wrong information. At that press conference that was held recently, the Piedmont Environmental Council, the Free Enterprise Forum, the Chamber of Commerce stood up and said, this dam is unsafe. We know it's unsafe, and the city is leaving a very dangerous dam up. I mean, Neil Williamson of the Free Enterprise Forum went so far as to say, this is the danger that the city is putting its people in with this unsafe dam.
It is so irresponsible. I mean, what we have seen this past year, and we were talking about kind of a review of this year. This year has been so important because there have been three new studies that have, every one of which has disputed the facts upon which the 2006 plan is based. In fact, the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan just sent a very detailed letter to the Department of Environmental Quality, as well as the Corps of Engineers. These are the regulators who permitted the plan, outlining all of the new information, citing primary documents to illustrate just how fundamentally flawed that 2006, we know that 2006 water plan is.
Yeah.
So when we heard at that press conference, they said, we haven't heard any new information that makes us change our mind. That's just irresponsible.
Well, and you got to remember where these folks are coming from. I mean,
The
Free Enterprise Foundation does not represent the ratepayers. It represents developers, realtors, builders, people who have...
And the lawyers who work for them.
Yeah, and their mission is to lobby. And essentially, it's a lot of people lobbying the government for free stuff. Everybody likes to talk about the capitalist system and free enterprise, but when it comes right down to it, they're trying to get free infrastructure so that they can profit. That is how the system works. But
you have very powerful interest going to the government and getting the public to pay for infrastructure that they can profit from.
And the public has to, and that's where the public comes in, which is us, which is the people listening to this, to draw a line and say, we don't need this. There are some things we do need. This, for transportation infrastructure, this area really needs some work. But water infrastructure.
But we don't need an entirely new water supply plan.
We've got.
Because we have an existing infrastructure we can build on.
We've got a solid existing infrastructure. And, I'm an engineer, so I can sort of see the perspective in Ravana in that nobody likes to maintain legacy systems. It's just not sexy. It's everybody.
They don't want to dredge, they want to build a new dam.
Including myself. I would rather build something new than maintain somebody else's project. And what I say to Ravana in response to that is, that's why they call it a job. This is not you doing what you want to do. You work for the ratepayers, and the ratepayers don't need a brand new system. We have a good legacy system that needs to be maintained.
Yeah. Kevin Lynch is a former member of the Charlottesville City Council. Dee Dee Smith is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. And Kevin, I have to ask you before I let you go, you were one of the counselors years ago who voted for this plan.
For the 2006 plan.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, quite a few things, because I voted for the 2002 plan as well, which was more of a maintenance-based plan. First thing is that we were grossly misled about the cost of the 2002 plan. We included dredging in that plan. They came back and said dredging is going to cost $225 million. Now at the time, we pushed back on that, saying that's got to be wrong. But at the time, we believed that at least Ravana thought that was the number. Now we know, now that we've FOIA'd them, we know that dredgers at the time were coming up to them and saying, no, that's ridiculous. But another key part of the 2006 plan is that it was a phased plan. The idea was
build it as you need it.
Is that in the 2006 plan, that dam was to be rebuilt at 13 feet, and then some point 20 years in the future, if necessary, they would go to full height and build the pipeline. And quite frankly, I expected that by then we would have figured out what the problem with dredging was. Now, I didn't know at the time that there really wasn't a problem with dredging. We were just being misled about that. But in terms of in terms of why I voted for 2006, because A, it was phased, and B, we were given bad information from the get-go.
Yeah, one you were getting your information from a company that built big new dams and didn't do dredging.
Yeah,
so,
and you know, one thing that I've said, you know, I've said a few times since then is that, you know, I really felt disappointed in staff on that. And I've said, you know, if I ever go back and counsel, I'll stop asking staff for reports and just do the Freedom of Information Act FOIAs, because that's the only way you really find out what's going on. And, you know, there's a natural tendency for staff to tell counsel what it is that they want to do, not what needs to be done.
Kevin Lynch is a former member of Charlottesville City Council. Dee Dee Smith is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. You can get more information online at sevawater.info. Merry Christmas to you both. Happy
yes,
New
Merry
Year.
Christmas.
Hey, yeah.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.